Okay, I've taken my hand at starting this sermon today with a riddle that I've written. Let's see if you can figure out this riddle. I am being morally right, but to say so is often seen as false. You want to be me, but you only want to be seen as being me by God. Those who are me usually don't describe themselves as me, but those who are not me often describe themselves as me. Who am I? I am being morally right, but to say so is often seen as false. You want to be me, but you only want to be seen as being me by God. Those who are me usually don't describe themselves as me, but those who are not me often describe themselves as me. Who am I? Any guesses? No. I think we don't mind saying to others that we're Christian, and pardon? Righteousness. That's what I'm looking for. Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 And let your actions speak louder than your words, correct? Yes. Well, what I was looking for is righteousness. Righteousness means quite literally to be in the right, usually in the moral or ethical sense. And theologically means to be right with God, living in accordance with God's will for our lives. And so righteousness, I am being morally right, that's righteousness. But to say so is often seen as false. Because if you stand up and say, hey, I am righteous, well, that's not a very righteous thing to say, right? So you want to be me because God wants us to be righteous. But you only want to be seen as being me by God. Because often if somebody sees you and, oh, look at him, how righteous he is, you know, it's often described in that way as negative. And those who are me, those who are righteous, usually don't describe themselves as me because when you're righteous, you also have great humility. But those who are not me often describe themselves as me, like the Pharisee we heard today. You know, it's like, yes, I'm very good. I'm glad I'm not like them, right? So that's my hand at a riddle. Stay tuned. A full book of riddles will be coming out next year. So the use of righteous takes on various meanings in our world, many of which are actually negative connotations or false use of righteous. For example, as I was just saying, to describe yourself as being righteous, usually in contrast or contempt for others, is actually being self-righteous, which is not truly righteous at all. We've just come through an election, and some refer to candidates who are standing for office as righteous politicians, which is not a good thing in that they're always trying to portray themselves as being right and doing no wrong, but not necessarily always genuine in doing so. So that would be false righteousness. Now, righteous has also been used as slang for hundreds of years, which, unlike some of the erroneous uses of righteous I just spoke of, actually fits closer to the correct definition of the word. Now, I found this interesting. According to Merriam-Webster, in the early 1500s, righteous was used as slang for genuine or honest, okay? And then in the 1930s, jazz musicians used righteous to describe music that was excellent or cool. The 1940s hepcat scene used the word to mean more than cool, but rather smooth, genuine, the real hipster deal. And then in the 1980s and 90s, it was used as an adjective to describe anything excellent. Oh, righteous wave, dude. Or interjectionally, to strongly agree with the speaker. Oh, totally righteous. Now, all of our readings today speak to righteousness in one way or another. And of course, that is where we learn of the righteousness that God wants of all of us. Now in Sirach, and Martin, I must admit that I don't often read Sirach either. So I did a little bit of reading about it, and Sirach is part of the Apocrypha. It was written about 200 years B.C., and it's kind of like Proverbs in that it's a book in the Old Testament that provides sayings or words to live by. Now here we see some direction for us that would support living a righteous life. It speaks of giving to God as generously as you can afford, based on what has been given to you. Now, not that the righteous need any incentive, it also does mention a nice little perk that God repays sevenfold what you give to him. So if you need a little incentive, there's that there. It also says in this excerpt, do not try to bribe God. So I guess offering a deal for the Oilers to win this afternoon is out of the question. That's all right, they're playing pretty well. And it also says, don't try to fool God with a dishonest sacrifice, one that is really not a sacrifice to you. I'm reminded here of the widow who gives a penny compared to the rich man that gives much, much more. Who has made the honest sacrifice? Now, moving to 2 Timothy, Paul deals directly with righteousness. And he walks that fine line of referring to himself as righteous without being like self-righteous in saying so. How does he do this? Let me just read where that passage again. It says here, from now on there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So, first of all, he's speaking of righteousness in order to teach. He's not just out of the blue saying, hey, look at me, I'm a righteous dude. No, he's actually, in all of his letters, he's teaching those that are learning from him. And so he's not really putting himself out there in that way. He's also saying that the crown of righteousness is reserved for him because of how he lived and what he believed. But he caveats this claim that he will only truly be righteous if so judged by the Lord. And third, he says, and this is open to everyone, to all believers. Okay. So to rephrase this passage about righteousness, Paul might have said, I think I've lived my life in accordance with God's will. But, of course, that is ultimately up to God to decide. And God will decide this for all those who believe. So that's Paul on righteousness. And of course, in the gospel, this entire parable is aimed to correct those who believe in their own righteousness and as such have contempt for others. Basically, there's a Pharisee that says, wow, look how great I am, and thank goodness I'm not like them. I did the same thing as you, Sue. Soon as I read that, I kind of went, oh, he's kind of full of himself there, isn't he? Sure, I'm glad I'm not like other people, right? And then there's this tax collector who's so troubled, they won't even come close, won't even look to heaven, and in shame just says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, right? And it's the second, not the former, it's the tax collector who Jesus says will be justified by God. And I'll say a little bit more about justification in a second. So let's unpack this parable a bit. Now the Pharisee is not wrong in describing the things he does as righteous things. He's telling the truth. These are things that he's done, okay? And they are things that contribute to a righteous life. And he is probably doing them, I'm only guessing, out of obedience to God, which is a righteous reason for his actions. But, and it's a great big but, it leads him to what is a very unrighteous position, one where he's judging his own righteousness and he then looks down on others. Any simple act of dividing people on the basis of whether they're good as you is a perfect example of unrighteousness. Now, taking a look at the tax collector, he may have done immoral things, such as taking bribes or extorting money, which was not uncommon for tax collectors of those days, which is why they were often looked down upon. However, he recognizes his wrong, and he's come to God with it, and he's ashamed of it, and he cries out to God to judge him with mercy, because he knows he's going to get judged. He knows he's in the wrong, and he just is praying for mercy. And it is the tax collector who is seen as righteous in the eyes of God, as it says that he went home justified, whereas the Pharisee did not. Now, a word about being justified. Justification is God's righteous act of removing the guilt and sin while declaring one to be righteous as a result of their faith. Being justified by God, or being justified by God, is being adjudged righteous. I read that justification and righteousness actually have the same common root in Greek, which means to declare righteous. So when it says that the tax collector went home justified, he went home declared righteous by God. So, as to boil it all down, the Pharisee, despite committing many righteous acts, goes to God and thanks him for not being like a thief or a rogue or adulterer or the tax collector. And God, in turn, despite the righteous acts, sees the unrighteousness of spirit and does not justify the Pharisee, does not deem him righteous. In contrast, despite the unrighteous acts committed by the tax collector, because the tax collector knows he was wrong and he is ashamed and presumably will repent and ask God for mercy, God does justify the tax collector and recognizes the righteousness within him. It's a lot to think about, and I hope that you will. I encourage us all to reflect on what we say and do. Does it reflect God's will in our lives? If not, then I encourage you to make changes. Struggle with it, because changes often involve some struggle. And keep trying until what you say and do does align with God. I encourage all of us not to think highly of ourselves and less of others, as we are all children of God in our own circumstances, most of which are unknown to others, and on which we have no right or ability to cast judgment. I encourage all of us to stand up in the face of injustice and help to the best of your ability those in need. I encourage all of us to be grateful for everything, even in the face of hardship or difficulty, and give thanks to God for all our blessings. I encourage all of us to be hungry for more and more of God's Spirit working in our lives and through us, and for God to be always helping us transform to be more and more the person God wants each of us to be. And for that opportunity one day to be judged righteous, not by ourselves or by others, but by our Creator and Redeemer, we should say now and always, thanks be to God.